Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, December 26, 2007, the only day after Christmas, 2007, in the history of humanity. Hope you are recovered or in the process of recovering. Welcome in on this Wednesday night. Everybody, well, I would say most everybody, probably consumed a little bit more than they would have liked. But that's just fine. There's always tomorrow.
There's always more, too.
There's always more. And you don't have to feel guilty about it. You can if you want. You're free to feel guilty if you want, but we wouldn't advise it.
Not a healthy thing to do. It's much less healthy than the food we consume.
We want to welcome everybody online on this Wednesday and hope that you did have a positive Christmas experience. Did you, Michael?
Yes, I did. I spent Christmas Eve with Pastor John Adair and his family and had a good time until John fell asleep on the sofa and I left sometime after he said.
Why am I not surprised at that picture?
Sometime after he had fallen asleep.
Did he have the cigar out of his mouth at least at that point?
Yes, I think it was. And then on Christmas Day, I went to another family here in the congregation of the Saints in Houston and spent Christmas Day with them. They have three children. And it was a lot of fun spending time with them. They were so excited. 7 a.m. I had to arrive on time for the kids. So, and then the Adairs came for a lunchtime thing, and some next door neighbors who are from I cannot bring the name of their country. Spanish speaking country. I didn't think I would get that. Anyway, they have no family here in the immediate area, so the family I was with invited them over also. We all really had a wonderful time. It was a very good Christmas.
That is
celebration.
Indeed. That's Mike Williams, president of the Gospel Revolution. This is Glenn Klein Online on this Wednesday night. It is live and direct if you're listening. And it's the day after Christmas, and it's between 9 and 10 o'clock Eastern time. You're actually listening live, and we're glad to have you along with us. Inviting your participation tonight by calling the webcast, as always, at 1-800-436-3260. That number is 1-800-436-3260. It's always amazing, Michael, even though I've been doing this a while, it always takes that first person to call. And then it's a momentum thing. It's like jumping into the pool first. You know, somebody's got to jump in first,
true.
And then they find out the water's just fine, and then they come on in.
Very nice, very very comfortable temperatures. Jump on in.
But we want to encourage you to do that early and often because it makes a huge difference to hear your voice and to hear your perspective and your questions and your comments. This gospel thing is a body of Christ thing, and we all see things differently from different perspectives because we're all looking at the same truth, which is the revelation and the understanding that Jesus died for the sin of the world and that he accomplished his feat. But as we're described in the Bible as the body of Christ, if I'm the left little toenail on the left foot, and Michael, clearly Michael, closer to the head of the church, if you will. But let's say Michael is part of the right shoulder or the right clavicle. You might be the left elbow, and your view of the Lord and this whole thing is going to be a little bit different. And all in total, we get a clearer picture. So we need your participation. We want your participation. That's why we have invested in technology to let you call and have your questions heard and have your comments heard. No matter what they are, at 1-800-436-3260, that's 1-800-436-3260. Patrick Jones waiting to take your calls and to talk with you and get you prepared to go online with Glenn Klein Online and Michael Williams. Also, always wanting your emails as well, and you can email us at webcast at gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast at gospelrevolution.com. Michael, this is a particularly stressful time of the year for people with the holidays, getting together a lot of times with family and friends they may not have seen. Overconsumption is an issue because it does affect people's emotions. But what we have found out over the time that we have been being transformed and saved by the gospel is that even in the midst of all that, you can have kind of a balanced approach to it, and you're a more secure person as you realize that everybody that gathers together, regardless of where they're at, are all redeemed, are all on the in the process of being saved, and ultimately have all been made right with God.
You know, it really is. It is probably the greatest psychology and sociology that a person could experience for themselves and collectively that I know of. It is a profound psychology that, as is declared even by James, James or Peter, said that it's a good thing that the heart be established or stabilized by the grace of God. And I could not agree with that comment more, that it is a good thing. It is a good thing that the stabilizing force of the heart is the grace of God. And when that is the truth, and that is the full impact of God's grace, is that we are all equal in the eyes of God. And from there, the psychology and sociology of living does have a common denominator. It has a common denominator for us in our own psychology and how we see ourselves, and it has a common denominator in our sociology and how we can relate to others. It really is an amazing, amazing difference, and I'm always delighted to hear. You know, before, when we were partook of another gospel, as Paul called it when he was addressing the Galatians, all of our testimonies were about moral conversions, which we're all very grateful for, moral excellence in any way that is healthier for the person individually or as society, as a group. But because we emphasized the conduct as being the manifestation of the power of the gospel, everybody's testimony was about, I used to do this. I actually, you know, my brother used to tell everybody that he didn't have a reason to be saved because he didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he'd never tasted alcohol, he'd never taken a puff of a cigarette, he had never said a curse word in his life. He just never had, and he knew all the preachers in town, and he told them very clearly. He said, you know, when I see somebody who has this together more than I do, then I'll see a reason that I need to be saved. But we had, so obviously that runs into complications. As to, I mean, even my own brother could not find the reason for a need for salvation based on what the church was preaching of a morally based gospel.
Right.
And but now, since we have been able to establish a gospel, the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, the testimonies that come out of it is that great psychology of having a lack of guilt and the disappearance of guilt and the sense of hostility between them and God, and it just changes the whole perspective of yourself. And your view of yourself is vitally important. And that has to do, the guilt issue has to deal with our psychology. The judgment issue has to deal with our sociology. And it profoundly changes our sociology and the interaction between us as races and different people, different heights, different colors, different sexes, different religions, And to the point where that I think it can change the outcome of world history. I think it can change a lot of the things that have gone to a direction that seems like we win, but in the long term we lose, because we're basing things on a who's right and who's wrong philosophy instead of understanding the incredible psychology and the sociology of the revelation of the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace.
Exactly, and it ties in very nicely with tonight's Legalist of the Week that we'll be getting into later, a young man named Justin Fatiga, who, if you read the email, folks, you read that he was the subject and is the subject of a recent HBO documentary called Hard as Nails, which is the name of his ministry. And as we'll learn later on in the webcast, you're going to find out that this young man, who is very intense, very charismatic, is preaching a gospel of nothing but morality. And
well, he is legalism on steroids.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And we'll explain more. And it's a necessary conversation that we're going to have, because the amount of people that are going to see this message through HBO is enormous. And but we'll be getting to that later on in the program. So make sure to stay tuned for the featured Legalist of the Week. Speaking of Legalists of the Week, right now as we speak on Larry King on CNN, he is interviewing Joel Osteen, who's down there by you, by Houston way.
Yes, our buddy here in Houston.
And apparently they were promoting the show on CNN by saying, "Redemption for everyone?" question mark.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And so we're taping that now, and undoubtedly Joel will be one of our featured Legalists of the Week eventually, because if Larry King asks him the question, is everybody going? Is everybody redeemed? I guarantee you that Joel will skirt the issue, because he's
well,
so nice.
Let's wait. Let's wait and see.
But oh, I know. As I've seen,
may have to say Glenn Klein was right.
Yeah. For once in my life. You know, Joel's been getting a lot of play on a lot of different programs recently because he's promoting his new book.
Certainly, he a kinder, gentler gospel. He does preach.
Right. He is not legalism on steroids.
No.
he's legalism on saccharin is what he is.
Yeah, on tablets.
But we'll get to that in a future webcast. But you've spent time with Joel Osteen and with his late father John Osteen.
Well, my goodness, he was a kid sitting in the congregation. As I have always said, Joel Osteen's father was dear to my heart, and I did have the privilege, as many, many people did. I had the privilege of spending private time with John Osteen and Joel's father, and in the 90s, I would have to go back and check to see exactly when. But I was actually speaking at another church here in Houston, and when I was beginning to get the understanding of grace. And I got a call from John Osteen, the father of Joel Osteen, and he knew me because I had spoken his church before. He asked me to come and spend 4 days on the grounds there at the Lakewood Church, which was the large 10,000-seat auditorium, had been built by then. Last time I had been there before that was the church that seated about, I doubt very seriously they could have seated 2,000 in that sanctuary, and then he built this 10,000-seat sanctuary. But after it was built, he had asked me to come down, and we went to Luby's. I mean, every day. That's what John Osteen loved Luby's. I mean, he was such a kind and embracing human being. And I remember sitting down in Luby's, and I would love to find the Luby's, but there's so many here in Houston, I can't even find Joel Osteen's church. But I would love to see where that was, and I could almost take you directly to the table if I was in the right building, where John Osteen asked me to explain to him what I understood the grace of God to be. And I not only explained to him what I believed the grace of God to be, but also the office sent into him my tape series on the grace of God. So it really was a very powerful experience, for sure.
Well, Joel Osteen's new church, so-called Lakewood Church,
yes, it is
in the old Houston Rockets arena.
Yes, it is. It's massive. I mean, the thing of it is it's even dealing with Joel as a legalist is even difficult for me, because I feel so connected to the reality of his father was certainly a pioneer in the goodness of God. I learned tremendous volumes from his father. One of his books, called The Divine Flow by John Osteen, was and is to this day probably the most direct influence on my understanding of a spiritual walk, which is basically understanding love and acting on that. Was just a profound impact on my life. And every time I went to the church, he would give me a stack all tied up in a bow of his books. He'd make sure the secretary got together, all of his books, and he would give me another stack of them, every time that I went. I certainly didn't turn them down. And a man very connected with other people and always wanting to learn. I remember him taking me up behind that granite pulpit, the very first one they had there. And, who knows, maybe he was prophesying, it never happened because number one, Norval Hayes decided that he would destroy me, and he made sure that he got in contact with, John, and spread all kinds of rumors, and my connection with John was broken because of Norval, which, yes, I have no bitterness in my heart anymore, no resentment. Did I have? Oh my goodness, yes, it was definitely there, and it was more than that. It was heartbreaking to know that the man that I called my, quote, my father in the Lord was going behind my back and with a mission to destroy me. But
that must have been pleasant.
It was quite an unusual thing to go through, which is one of the reasons I believe even stronger in the grace of God now, is because my heart is healed from all of those things. And but that was the reason that my connection with John was broken. But nonetheless, the influence of the gospel of grace and the things that I was teaching at the time, at least, he was collecting all of the tapes that he could on the subject. So to what degree that Joel was impacted by that, I just don't have a clue.
Well, Joel's obviously headed in a better direction, but I remember when his dad passed away and he took over, and watching that whole thing transpire, I thought, there is no way in the world this guy's going to be able to hold it together. And sure enough, he's more than held it together. I mean, he does.
Oh, my. Well, that is for sure. And it is either something that is, he has an, the way that I see Joel at this moment, I don't envy the position that he is in, because he's on the world stage to such a degree, but he stands in a position, and the perch, if you will, that he stands on is going to require him to go one way or the other at this point.
Well,
that's the reason that I say, let's wait and see, because I guess I'm still really, really hoping that, you know, the political correctness will be replaced by
Even
the political correctness is even
truth
much
be
better than the hardcore legalism that all the preachers are mad at him for not taking the stand up.
Right. He was on the Sunday morning show, Fox News Sunday, and Chris Wallace asked him, he said, "You're criticized, Joel Osteen, for not talking about sin."
Yeah.
And he said, you know, there's enough people out there doing it. He said, but I do mention it at the end of my webcast, I mean at the end of my show, which he really doesn't. He gives a very, very...
very vague. There's nothing about sin.
Yeah. So anyway, it's interesting to see how he's coping and dealing with it. And, you know,
And like I say, it's not an enviable position because now, you know, I got to a certain degree of notoriety, and believe me, the ability to change your mind with notoriety, even at the small level, nothing compared to where Joel Osteen is. And believe me, the cost of changing your mind at all is just it's a high cost. If you change your mind to the right or to the wrong, just changing your mind is not advantageous in our society for a politician or a preacher.
Yeah, it's amazing that they talk about that as being a weakness.
Yes.
And,
I remember back years ago was the very first, of course, one of my instructors in the Word of Faith movement was Kenneth Hagin Sr. I remember him being introduced, and his one of the first statements was that he had been preaching the same thing that he had preached 50 years ago and hadn't changed his mind about anything in 50 years, and everybody applauded. And I remember my heart I just felt like it literally broke right there in the middle of that, because my experience with understanding in the gospel had been a progression of changing my mind, you know. And then one of the Bible verses of many, many, many that I had memorized was that only a fool does not change his mind. And the number one way you can tell you're dealing with a fool is somebody who never changes their mind. And so that just broke my heart. But at the same time, it made me stop and take notice that there may be something foolish about what I was hearing, because I was listening to a man who said he never changed his mind in 50 years.
Yeah.
And somehow my heart knew that to be unhealthy. Well, the Proverbs definitely speaks of it as being unhealthy. And so here we are. So, but anyway, with Joel, is on a stage that there's no preacher, no pastor of a church, including Jimmy Swaggart, that has been on the world stage platform like Joel Osteen is at this point. And so any degree of change or admission of anything controversial is could be earth-shattering.
Well, in his case, he deals so little with the actual Bible. I mean, it's almost all, you know, just everyday common experiences,
yeah.
Good philosophical. He could just, you know, leave out that little prayer at the end and probably do just fine. Clearly, right. that church, Lakewood Church, was a good old-fashioned charismatic Pentecostal church back in the day.
Oh, tongue-talking. I remember Dodie Osteen. Joel's mother had the strangest tongues I have ever heard in my life. And of course, those not that are listening to me, they don't even know anything about speaking in tongues. But I remembered we got so tickled at Dodie, John's wife, speaking in tongues for interpretation, because it just was so funny. It was like a little, it was ooh doody pa poo poo dee doo doo, you know. It really was. And
Do we have to interpret that now?
Well, you go for it if you like.
I'm getting the word.
This was John Osteen's wife, and she just sounded so, I mean, it was just like, that was almost verbatim. I remember it all these years, you know. But those are fond memories, and now we watch Joel, and I watch him. I watch him fondly. There's not, you know, like I say.
Well, he's cute as all get out. So I mean, he just.
You may think so, but I don't. But anyway, he's more your style than mine, I guess.
I think his wife is, but his wife is on the show with. it's over my shoulder here. I see Joel and his wife. On the Larry King Show. Well, we'll get to that later, folks. But yeah, I feel sorry for Joel Osteen. It has to be hard to be a multi-millionaire. It's a lot of responsibility. This is Glenn Klein Online. Michael Williams with us as always on Wednesday night. Waiting to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. Who will be first in the pool tonight? 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the night after Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, but we're waiting for the phone to ring. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the archive, always feel free to fire off an email at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We always get to the questions eventually. And this question, Michael, comes from John in Victorville, California. This was sent quite a while ago, but he said, I heard you share, Michael, about one of your new topics. Who told you that the chaff was people? He said, I got a revelation on the subject, which emailed you to discuss. He says, Jesus telling the disciples they would judge the 12 tribes of Israel. I've been meditating on this since I sent the email to you. Your revelation shed the light on it for me. Who told me the judgment they would give would be anything but that the 12 tribes are righteous, holy, and perfect because Christ did it for them all. An interesting point about Christ's statement is that Judas was still one of the 12 disciples, so obviously included in that. And that's John from Victorville, California. That's exactly right. As soon as we see something that says judgment, our religious minds immediately say that that's got to be negative. That's got to be bad, a bad thing. But
the statement is that we would judge the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
And, and I read that email, and I have been so excited, and thank you so much, and I certainly give you credit for the insight. And but I have a meeting coming up. I may be doing this several places, but you know what? I just got this picture in my mind that I never that he said that we would judge these 12 tribes, and it's like he said, who are we to say that judgment is anything other than you are righteous and holy? And for maybe the first time in history, since. At least it's going to be the first time it's ever been recorded that I know of, we are going to judge each and every one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I am going to present it to the people, and I'm going to ask them, as the body of Christ, how judge ye the tribe of Dan? How judge ye the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Manasseh? We're going to go right through all 12, and I want to get an open declaration of judgment upon the 12 tribes of Israel from the body of Christ.
Well, don't forget, folks, that according to the understanding that we've talked about before, is that we'd be judging each other because Israel was a foreshadowing of Christ. Christ is Israel.
Yes, absolutely.
And we are all in him, or all in Israel, if you will. So, yeah, we'll be judging our brothers and sisters.
Yes,
in those 12 tribes.
It is time, you know. It's like, you know, that in Hebrews, gosh, the teaching that we did on the great high priest years ago is just makes that so very clear. And Hebrews says that they, without us, speaking of those of the old covenant, that they without us would not be made perfect. So, but they've got us, and we've got them, because we all are, as you've said, Glenn, we are all in Christ. We are all one new man. They certainly have already, as a great cloud of witnesses, judged us to be righteous and holy. So I think we need to reach back in time and do a proclamation of judgment.
I think we get some positive publicity on that one. I mean, we can say that the Christian church is now proclaiming all of Israel to be righteous and holy in God.
Yes, that, absolutely.
What a refreshing idea.
Judgment has come from the church for the 12 tribes of Israel.
Not guilty. That's our judgment.
Not guilty.
Yeah,
yay and amen.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our feature of the week called The Legalist of the Week. And this week, we are featuring a young man named Justin Fatica, who is a Catholic lay minister. He is the featured subject of the latest HBO documentary called Hard as Nails, which is Justin's name for his ministry. He goes around speaking at youth conventions primarily. And you've seen these type of ministries before that go and try to touch the lives of young people. And he, as I said earlier, has a message that is completely and utterly morally based. And you're going to hear it tonight. We've just taken a couple of short segments from the documentary. And I got to explain what you're going to be hearing. First of all, you'll hear him introduce himself. And then you're going to hear him receiving a pummeling, basically. Now, you got to picture this. He's got a young man up in front of him, and he's ministering to him. And then he's got somebody behind Justin, one of his team members, that every time that he says that Jesus loves this young man that he's talking to, the guy smashes Justin in the back with a metal folding chair. And you'll hear that. It's very dramatic to watch, and it'll be dramatic to listen to. So that's what's happening. When you hear this smashing, this kid is smashing Justin Fatica in the back with a metal folding chair. And you'll hear what Justin says about that. Then, fast forward a little bit, and you'll hear Justin talking to a young girl, and he talks about, he asks her a question. So if you can picture a completely terrified older teenage girl standing in front of this kid, you'll get the picture. And if you have a chance to see the documentary, I highly recommend it. It will show you in no uncertain terms. If you ever had any doubt at what we're up against, this kid has spoken to 60,000 young people last year, and he hopes to double it, and I'm sure he will. He's very driven, and we'll talk a little bit more about Justin Fatica and the documentary Hard as Nails after we listen to this segment of The Legalist of the Week.
I am Justin Fatica, and I'm a person that's striving to make a difference in this world and challenging people to do the right thing and to love God. A guy that makes mistakes, a guy that struggles, a guy that's, you know, just trying to make a difference. That's it. That's who I am. Everybody else in this world has this intense battle with something inside of them. Everyone. Whether they share it or not, everybody's got it, and they got to deal with it. People used to always say when I was growing up, you're either going to make the biggest impact on this world, or you're going to ruin this world. He loves you. I'm afraid to do this, but I don't care. It's worth it. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you. How much he loves you. He loves you so much that he'd do all that for you. He took all the pain, all the agony for you. Now you're going home, and you can go out, and you can hurt people, and be a good kid, and not really do anything. But he loves you. The question is, do you love him? Would you bash him in the face? Would you take this if Jesus was sitting in front of you right now? He's sitting in front of you right now. Would you bash him in the face? Would you? No? Then why would you sin? If you're going to sin, you better have the courage to bash his face in. You better. Because if you're going to go out and hurt him, you better have the courage. You better. You better have the courage to bash his face in. If you're going to go out there and sin, you better right now bash his face in. Have you sinned in the past 20 minutes, hour, 4 hours? Really hurt him? Have you? Have you?
Have you? Have you sinned in the last 20 minutes, Michael?
Not at all.
Yeah. That's just the tip of the iceberg of this program, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I've taken some notes here as to what we heard. First of all, we heard a young man explaining who he is and that he's out there challenging people to love God. And he talks about, Michael, this intense battle that we all have inside, which is true. But obviously, he's got some stuff going on inside of him, just like a lot of people going into the ministry, especially the priesthood, trying to deal with the intense battle that, for whatever reason, they think is raging inside of them.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to, in my opinion, from watching this documentary a couple times, he's trying to deal with his own demons through
Absolutely.
Making people love God.
Yeah.
And then he's demonstrating how much he loves God by having some kid bash him in the back. I mean, hard, obviously. That was hard. I'm sure it came across on your computer, but wait till you see it. And this is how much, this is how you demonstrate your love for God. You let people hit you.
Well, this is not only legalism on steroids, it's Catholicism on steroids, because Catholicism definitely lends itself toward the sufferings. That your suffering is a holy thing. It's how you purge yourself of your own conscience, purge your own conscience from sin, which there's only one purging power of the conscience, and that is the blood of Jesus. In fact, what this young man is doing is intensifying sin consciousness. And boy, you know, if you don't know the gospel, this sounds good. I guess what I would say: good morals, bad gospel.
But we know when somebody is preaching a morality-based gospel, if you will, that it does lead many, many times, and we have many examples. We may even talk about one tonight, yeah, because we have an email about it. We have people that are preaching the very moral fabric that they're trying to weave into our society. Through the Bible, we see them falling in those exact things and worse.
Yeah, well, I could prophesy over this young man all day as to what is going to happen. And, because when you're so conflicted that you admit that you have these huge struggles with yourself, that you just should not be having these struggles with yourself. There should be something taking you in a direction to help you deal with yourself, not fight against yourself.
Exactly. That's what sin consciousness does. He has a thing in there on masturbation, and they have a segment on where he's working out, and he says he used to have trouble with masturbation, and that the masturbation was dealt with when the Lord showed him to work out. And he says, when I work out, I don't masturbate anymore. And he's, you know, and he's pumping the iron. And this show is going all over the world. It'll be on DVD. So his words are going to come back to him. And that guy, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets caught in some rectory somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no, we can prophesy it all day long. It's written in the stars. I mean, it's just the direction that legalism takes you, and it's nothing that we wish upon this young man or anybody else, but this is where this conflicted, afflicted mentality of sin takes anybody. And the reason that the entire Christian community is embracing him, even though they would never embrace the Catholicism, is because all the churches know they've lost control over their kids. They don't know how to exercise control. All the, you know, now they come up with the, there's a new version of Promise Keepers, you know, and there's, because Promise Keepers failed.
Because they couldn't keep their promises.
Yeah, and so now they're going to really keep the promises this time because the other group didn't keep the promises.
Do you remember what the name of the new group is?
What is it? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I cannot remember.
It was something like, you know, Men of Something, I think, or I don't know.
Yeah, so you're going to see a lot of this because we're recycling this subject again. And but what you're going to see is a tremendous amount of psychological and sociological mishaps taking place. And it just is, it's written in the stars, folks. This is the direction these things go. And a lot of times, you know, people want us to stand back and admire these people for their effort. But, you know, to me, and I'm sorry, it's like giving Hitler credit for his efforts, you know, because the end result is just disastrous.
Exactly.
Especially the young minds and hearts that this young gentleman is reaching. Is he doing this from his heart? He is totally doing it from his heart. But his heart is completely saturated with sin consciousness. He is trying to exorcise his own demons on stage, on the public scene.
And he's screaming at a young girl, saying, yeah. Would you bash Jesus in the face? And of course she says, no. And I mean, she's freaking, as you can imagine, this very imposing figure is screaming at her into a microphone. And then why would you sin? Why would you do anything wrong if you wouldn't bash Jesus in the face?
When he just admitted that he said that he has these constant struggles himself, and if you got a struggle, you it's sin. Jesus said Jesus didn't say if you don't masturbate. He said if you even think about a sexual act, that you have sinned. And he didn't say that he even commented on murder. And he said, it's not if you murder, it's if you even get angry.
I remember when I was in the church and our pastor gave us permission to masturbate, because obviously that's an issue within the evangelical mindset, the Catholic mindset. He gave us permission to masturbate as long as we thought about our wives.
Wow.
And I thought I had died and gone to heaven. But you know what? Couldn't stay there for very long.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the question was, well, what if you're single?
Yeah.
Then the question was it possible to masturbate and not think about anything?
Yeah.
This is the kind of conversations we have in the church, ladies. And you know how nuts this is? Do you know how crazy this is? This is insanity gone amok. And I hate to use Hitler as an analogy, but it's something that we can all understand. And, you know, listen, Adolf Hitler, Michael, he did give the German people their self-esteem back.
Yeah.
And he did some good things initially for the country coming out of World War I. And that's a whole discussion in and of itself. However, the end result wasn't so good for Germany.
Good.
The end result, when you go down this road, is disastrous. When you watch the documentary, he's got people being nailed to the cross. He's got people schlepping crosses all over the place. He brings up a heavy set, a fat girl, and he screams at her, "You're fat, you're fat." And this is and the girl's in tears, and she's one of the team members. And the reason he does this is because he wants to point out that that's how people see her, and that this is a sin. This is no good to see her this way. And it's devastating to watch this stuff go on, and yet this guy is being promoted within the Catholic Church as the latest and greatest new way to get your kids to, as I often like to say, not drink, smoke, or chew, or hang around with girls that do. And he's got listed on in posters all these sins: drinking, smoking, sex before marriage, and all this stuff, and even the Catholic Church, the diocese the archdiocese out of Vermont, banned him on the fat girl thing. That was too much, and which I thought was.
Well, if the fat girl thing was too much, I mean, where do you draw the line? You know, it's just that's the thing, is that, like we said, we honor God's law in its totality, and in legalism, I don't care what it is, they have to pick and choose, and. But we honor God's law for the reason it was given, not for the misconception of humanity's interpretation of God's law, is that it was given to show us how to live.
Yeah, a blueprint for living, as I like to say.
God's law written in stone or in ink was not a blueprint for living. It was indeed the schoolmaster that would lead us to the our understanding of revelation of Christ. And if you water down any law, you're going to get a watered-down version of redemption. That's the reason you have, you know, half a gospel and half a law mixed together. But
and that's called schizophrenia, ladies and gentlemen.
It really is. It is. It's first off spiritual schizophrenia, but it does affect you into mental and emotional schizophrenia.
Well, you started the show talking.
That's the deepest part of our being.
Exactly.
I believe is that spiritual understanding.
And you started the program talking about the psychology that this affects. Well, legalism run amok, especially affects psychology, affects the way people think, which affects their actions, which affects the way that we relate to one another.
Yeah, and the very first thing that you become, let me say this, Glenn, as loud and as clear as I can. The very first thing that becomes out of legalism, such as what this young man is doing, it turns you into a liar instantly. Instantly, you become a liar.
You gotta hide
because
everything.
No longer can you ever tell the truth again. Because if you tell the truth, then you lose your position of being the moral authority.
Right.
And so you can never tell the truth again. Never again. Never again. Hear my voice. Never again can this young man ever be truthful. Ever again the rest of his life. Until it leads to an absolute catastrophic breakdown of his mental and emotional well-being.
Well, he starts, Justin Fatica, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the Legalist of the Week. He starts the program, and the first quote that we heard from him is that his whole desire is to get people to love God. And that's not our desire, is it, Michael?
Yeah, no, our desire is to get people to know that God loves them.
Exactly. Big difference.
Yeah. You're starting with the opposite end of the mule, you know.
Exactly.
And if you start with the opposite end of the mule, you know what comes out. And that's what people are going to wind up with, you know. It's heartbreaking. You know, we deal with these things, Glenn, in sometimes a lighthearted way, and we deal with it as best that we can to help people to understand why these things are just not acceptable. They just are not. But it really is. It's heartbreaking to realize when you've walked this thing called the gospel out, in the final analysis of this young man's life and those that he is reaching, all you can do is just almost break down and cry. And in fact, I'm sure that at some point I will. I've certainly cried over less. Seeing the impact of such things, you know, and I understand, you know, people say, well, you know, you've got to have morality. Everybody has a morality. It depends on what that morality is affected by. And if it's affected by laws, rules, and regulations, you're a liar. And what's moral about lying? You can't start out trying to build moral character on lies. You just can't. Moral character is a very important part of our human existence, depending on what society you're in, because moral character is different in different societies. But the fact of it is very important, but it is not a gospel issue. Please let me say this just as pointed and as clearly as that. Morality is a vitally important part of the human experience, individually and socially. But it has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing. It is not a gospel issue at all.
And why is that?
Because the law is what makes morality an issue. The gospel does not make morality. You see, if morality is an issue with the gospel, then there is a law still in effect. The thing that made morality an issue, a spiritual issue, was the law. But the reason that it made morality a spiritual issue is because morality is all over the board for every human being on the face of planet Earth. No two humans agree, except in the constraints of having to fit in a social environment, as to what is exactly morally acceptable or not. Individually, though, we're all over the map with such subjects as those. And believe me, your morals change real quick when it winds up being your kids. Your morals change when it winds up being you. Your morals change when it's your daughter that's gotten pregnant. Your morals change when it's your son or your daughter that turns up to be gay. And people say, well, that's the reason we need these moral standards. No, that's the reason that we need the gospel of Jesus Christ, is because people need to be able to deal with all of these very important issues in their life with a clear conscience, not with a guilt-ridden conscience, and driving them to suicide and depression and all kinds of mental and emotional disorders and taking guns in and opening up fire. I'm sorry. These are the guts, these happenings in our society today. This is the guts of legalism. This is not the manifestation of grace in the planet. It's the guts of legalism. This final great finale of this, you can hear it coming out of these kids. You know, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to take some pieces of S with me. You know, as they had it in print in the paper with this last young man. You know, and raised in everybody's view to be one of the strongest Christians home they ever seen anybody come out of. But see, this is now the young man probably had some mental and emotional problems too. But you see, you've got to have a belief system that helps you through mental and emotional problems, not causes you to break down and take a gun and kill everybody in the middle of your mental and emotional battles. We all have those things to deal with, and you've got to have something that supports you. And legalism doesn't support your heart, dear friend. What this young man is saying does not, please, for God's sake, if you listen to this with your child, please sit there with your child and explain to them how wrong this young man is. Let them have the gospel, because they need to understand that in their process of dealing with their sexuality and their humanity as they go through puberty and experience all of the things that are a part of developing and learning their sexuality, they need the grace of God. They need to know that no matter what, they are accepted by God. These irrational decisions are not made out of people who believe they can do anything, no matter what it is, and still be accepted in God's eyes. Yes. You know, the kids from Columbine all the way down, they didn't go down saying, wow, we're really grateful for the grace of God. We can do anything we want. In every situation, it has been the result of the type of preaching that this young man is doing tonight, that we recorded just a little bit of. Because somebody who's got just a warp of mental illness and depression or anxiety and social misfit of somehow gets pushed to the side by this legalism, and the whole pecking order begins. And let me tell you something: they get beat down, and they don't know of any other way out. There is no justification for these types of actions. But folks, we should at least stop and consider some reasons for these things happening. They're not happening in a place where that these kids have never heard a preacher before. They're happening right in the churches now, where the preachers that preached to them. It's being brought right to the front door. It's just time for a reality check. We must check our sleeves at the door and stop being offended by someone expressing the power of the gospel, being concerned that somebody's going to be upset because they heard a little bit more gospel than what they're ready for. Let me tell you, we're not the ones that are the gatekeepers for the gospel. It's our job, and those of you that are listening, just get people to listen. Don't be afraid that somebody's going to say something wrong or present a little more grace than what they can handle right now. You couldn't handle it either when you heard it the first time. It had to rock your world, not your boat. Your world had to be completely rocked before you opened up. I don't get it why we feel like that we've got to be the gatekeepers, that we're the ones that's got to raise the floodgates, you know, a little higher because, you know, so-and-so might not understand. And I understand we want everybody to embrace the gospel. But please leave that job of the heart to the one who is the Lord of the hearts. That's not my job. My job is to proclaim the truth of this gospel. And that's what we strive so hard to do on this broadcast and in every tape that we make. Do we do everything excellently? I want to do everything excellent, and we really strive for that. But we have to understand what excellence is. Excellence isn't trying to make sure that we don't offend anybody with the gospel. Excellence is making sure we present the gospel with clarity and without the interruption or without excuse or without pardoning ourselves or without pardoning the gospel for its intrusion into people's lives. Well, you know, it's like we're supposed to say, well, pardon the gospel while it imposes on your life. No, the gospel is not an imposition. It is uncomfortable when you have been saturated in legalism to have your eyes blazoned open with the gospel of the grace of God. Turning on the light in darkness is a very difficult experience. But it doesn't mean we should hide the rising sun from those who walk in darkness. And as Jesus said, the walking in darkness is simply defined as being that they don't know where they're going. We want people to know where they're going. Every one of those of the gunmen, I don't know why I'm emphasizing this so much tonight, but it's just on my heart. Every one of these gunmen believed that hell was their destiny. Mm-hmm. They didn't go through this with the confidence that heaven was waiting for them. They went through it with a confidence that hell was waiting for them. Mm-hmm. Why can't we stop and look at the psychology of this and see that it's devastating? And that we don't do this broadcast just because we've got nothing else to do. We do it because the human race and the mentality of people, that those of you that are listening, that are encouraging others to listen, please don't be concerned that they're going to hear a little more grace than they ought to. Please don't try to be the gatekeeper and the monitor and the dam keeper for the grace of God. We've had those for centuries. We don't need any of those people anymore. Job over. Relax. Let the floodgates down. You know, 3 years ago today, a tsunami swept through the Indian Ocean, and 250,000 people were killed within just a couple of hours around the entire Pacific Rim. This is a tsunami of the grace of God, folks. And while we see its impact as being and it can be devastating, but look and see what it's devastating to. It's devastating to legalism. It's devastating to mental illness. It's devastating to unkindness and criticism. It's devastating to judgment and guilt. Do I want people to have these things devastated out of their life like a tsunami coming through? Yes. Is that tsunami going to be comfortable? In most cases, most unlikely that it's going to be the most comfortable experience you've ever had. But you will fall in love with the experience. you will totally fall in love with this experience because it is called the renewing of the mind, the saving of the soul. And tonight, Joel Osteen is being posed with the question. We'll wait and see what he says. Tonight, he's being posed with the question, is redemption for all? Well, I don't know whether Joel's going to answer right or not, but I can. Redemption was for all. It has already taken place. And folks, we're not going to apologize for that. Why should we apologize for the work of the cross? We do the very level best that we can in the human experience that we're having to present a gospel that's so much bigger than us that we can't even still look to the top of this enormous depths of the glorious gospel of the grace of God. We don't get it yet. I still don't get it. It's just too much to conceive of. Yet through our finite minds and our ability to understand and our emotions and our experiences all combined, we're doing our best to bring to you an understanding and to this planet an understanding of something so profound that I in my own heart am determined that it will revolutionize the future of the existence of people who live on planet Earth hundreds and hundreds of years from now. What we're saying now is going to exist forever. It will exist forever on the face of this planet.
That's a long hello forever.
And that is why we cannot try to be the gatekeepers for this tsunami of God's grace.
But if
we just can't do it, folks.
If
please don't let yourself be burdened by trying so hard to make sure that somebody hears it just right. They need to hear it just like you heard it, if that's straightforward and straight out.
Yeah, and then there's a level of trust in the gospel.
Absolutely.
That, you know, we recommend and that is necessary. But if this young man, Justin Fatica, was listening to the webcast, Michael, or if you had a chance to talk with him, what would you suggest?
Well, number one, I call our brother Justin to repentance. Repentance from what the true word repentance means is to change your mind, not just for the sake of the kids that he's going to be preaching to, but his own precious heart's sake. You know, there's a good kid there. And we call him to repentance in the name of Jesus. And we also speak to you, Justin. Is that correct? Justin's his first name?
Correct.
Justin, we speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare, because of what we understand about the cross of Jesus Christ, that you are a righteous and holy and perfect man of God in the eyes of God. We believe it, and we hope you receive it.
Amen. And that's about as good a way to wrap up another edition of Glenn Klein Online as I can think of. Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, Glennie.
Headed towards the Northland this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Next week we'll be coming to you. I'll be coming to you live from northern Wisconsin. I got my long johns packed, and
and your beard grown out.
I got the beard grown out, and I'm prepared. I've girded my loins, if you will.
He definitely looked like he's ready to go eat locusts and wild honey too.
We'll be calling for repentance, ladies and gentlemen. Change your mind, you generation of vipers. No, we love you and we appreciate you. Let us hear from you during the week at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. If we didn't get to your email, please stay logged on, and we'll do it, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, 1 week's time from now. And I want to thank Patrick Jones for engineering and producing, for you for listening. And until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.